The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Sticking to the Point, Natural Medicine Radio, with your host, Cheryl Hongzermeyer. On our program today, we'll explore Chinese medicine, including herbal medicine, acupuncture, and much more. We invite your questions and comments during the show, too. Now, here is Cheryl Hongzermeyer.
Welcome, listeners. I'm glad that you join me, Cheryl Hongzermeyer, the host of Sticking to the Point. And we're today having a wonderful discussion on Qigong. A lot of people have asked me, well, what is this? What good is it? You know, and how is it part of Chinese medicine? And it is a huge part of it, but we'll be discussing that, how it is. I'm an acupuncturist and herbalist in Silver Spring, Maryland. And my show, if this is the first time you've listened in, is a forum for people to discuss Chinese medicine in the United States healthcare system of today. And Qigong is part of that. We will be discussing Qigong here today. My wonderful guest is Jeff Nagel, who is a Chinese and Oriental medicine practitioner. He lives and practices in San Diego, California. He is trained in the 8 branches of Chinese Taoist healing arts. He is an experienced practitioner and teacher and researcher of acupuncture and Oriental medicine. Jeff has studied extensively with several well-known masters and doctors, including Taoist Grandmaster Sher Kei Lu of the Yellow Dragon Monastery in China. In some of Jeff's literature, he describes himself as a longtime cultivator of Qigong. And I think that's a wonderful term to use for practicing Qigong, a cultivator. I grew up on a farm in Nebraska, and whenever we worked on cultivating crops and growing plants, that always meant working toward making them better in their growth and development and eventual, so we would have better crops. So I think cultivator is a good term to use. Jeff, I want to say hello and thank you for joining me. Now,
hey, Cheryl.
Okay. Now, there's a lot to discuss, and I want to sort of dive in. So I want to ask you a few questions, and we can also, I'd like to discuss also the 8 Taoist, your whole study and what you do and how you practice it and research. But I want to sort of get into the history of Qigong and how is it part of Oriental medicine, Qigong, and the martial arts. Could you sort of start out with describing how Qigong is part of Chinese medicine?
Sure. Historically, no one knows the beginnings of Qigong, but some traditions say that it goes back at least 8,000 years ago. Could be before that. Could be somewhat after that, but that's what I'm familiar with. We refer to Qigong as literally Chinese medicine in motion, because it has movement to it. And the Qigong is one of the 8 branches of the Chinese healing arts and life sciences. The eight branches. It's like a tree with eight limbs, eight branches. The uppermost branches are the most important. They're the branches that one does for themselves and to themselves, for self-empowerment, it's called. The lower branches are other branches of the healing arts that one goes to a doctor for, or an advisor or a teacher for. The first branch, which we consider to be the most important and the most effective branch, especially for health and well-being, is meditation. Quiet, sit down, close the eyes, meditation. There are many different styles and methods and techniques of meditation. So there's all different kinds of ways to meditate. The second branch is the moving meditation, which includes Qigong, Tai Chi Chuan, Bagua, Xing Yi, Lu Ho Ba Fa, many different kinds of internal style of martial arts. The third branch of the healing arts is about food and nutrition and diet. And for that, we look to the five phases, the five elements of food and nutrition. Yeah? Many, many of the natural foods have preventative and healing aspects. So we use food as a primary form of medicine, especially to keep us in good health. And if we get sick or disease, we can also use the food to help heal that. The fourth branch is the bodywork systems. We have Tui Na, Chinese medicine, massage, shiatsu, Japanese version of it, and several other styles of body work, including bone setting, which is very important, especially if one practices martial arts or sports, as there are various injuries that can accompany that, especially over the long term. Now, along with the body work systems, we have the highest level of our particular style of healing arts, we refer to as Qigong energy transmission healing. It's also referred to as Neigong Qi Liao, and currently in mainland China, it's called medical Qigong. It's acupuncture without needles, healing without touch, where the Qi is transmitted directly from the practitioner, usually from their hand, to one or more patients simultaneously. It requires lots of intense training, and it's a very powerful practice. Very simple. There's no apparatus other than the human being. The fifth branch is about cosmology, the images and the views of the universe and how they become part of the Chinese medicine and the healing arts, along with the philosophy of Tao. Tao is simply nature's way, the way of nature. And the Bagua or the I Ching, the four forces of the universe and the eight trigrams and how they all give rise to the Chinese medicine long, long ago as well. Based on a mathematical code, the binary math of zeros and ones, this goes back at least 8,000 years ago, and of course, present day is what the computers are founded on, this binary mathematical system. Then the sixth branch is feng shui, or geomancy, some people call it. It's about environmental medicine for health. And the wind and water, the feng shui means the wind and water, gentle wind, calm water. And it's a vast art and science. Currently, it's widely practiced throughout Europe by medical doctors, and it's termed geopathic medicine. But many of the ancient cultures acknowledge this feng shui, or they had another name for it. The seventh branch is the herbal medicine. We use internal and external applications of herbal medicine from the classical Chinese medicine formularies. And we will use internal, external polarities, where we could take a formula internally and then place the same, an opposite, or a similar formula externally on the body to create somewhat something like a polarity, a magnetic polarity. Wherever we place the formula externally can draw the formula that was taken internally right to the target site. That's the seventh branch. The eighth branch, last but not least, is now the most popular of the Oriental medicine methods, which is acupuncture, the insertion of fine stainless steel needles into the body on the so-called meridians or channels that connect to the internal organs themselves. And acupuncture has many, many uses, from external injuries to psychological mental disorders to post-traumatic stress to internal conditions and degenerative disease, pain, traumatic injury, so on and so forth. Men, women, and children's health concerns, pretty much everything. The universal medicine. Yeah. So there's the eight branches.
Wow. It's very...
It's a big study. And that's how we practice the Chinese medicine.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, how did you... first get led into the into studying Chinese medicine, Jeff? What possessed you? You've been doing this for years. How did you get into studying this, and especially the eight branches?
Yeah, from when I was young, in my teen years in high school, I sustained a serious injury to my spine, and I had two herniated discs in my back. And I found my way to the Chinese medicine, and over a period of about 8 months, it helped me dramatically. It actually cured it, and my back's been quite good ever since over the years. So I knew what I wanted to do at an early age, and then I found teachers in the United States, and then later on, a number of years later, we finally had colleges of Oriental medicine, and I attended a college in San Diego, California, and got my degree, passed my licensing exam, and the rest is history.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a very, very interesting here, Jeff. I want to take a moment here. We're going to have a short break, and we'll be back, and just to discuss more about this, the eight branches, and Qigong. This is Cheryl Hungsemeyer, the host of Sticking to the Point, and my guest is Jeff Nagel, an acupuncturist and practitioner basically located in San Diego, California, and we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Caring for someone with autism can be full of challenges and triumphs. Wherever you are on your autism journey, we all benefit from good information and guidance. Join host Rob Haupt every week for a friendly show that will leave you inspired and informed. Tune in to Autism Spectrum Radio. Our guests include parents, advocates, and experts to discuss current experiences, treatments, and breakthroughs for those living with autism. Listen every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Make the most of your beautiful life. Listen to Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Li and co-host Kurt Wilhelm to gain tips on how to live healthier and happier, alleviate suffering, prevent disease, become more beautiful in body, mind, and fashion, and find peace balance, and success in your life. Are you aware that every 3,500 calories that you eat above what you burn will put a pound of fat on your body? And running 1 mile only burns 200 calories? So portion size does matter, and migraines do have a cure. What is it? You'll have to tune in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Steps to a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Sticking to the Point, Natural Medicine Radio with Cheryl Hungsermeyer. Do you have a question for Cheryl or her guest today? Please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send us an email at CherylHRadioShow@acumedicine-health.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, listeners. And I'm so glad you're here to tuning in to our show, Sticking to the Point. I'm Cheryl Hungsermeyer, and your host. Well, I have my guest today is Jeff Nagel, who's a practitioner of Oriental medicine, and he's a teacher also. He's located in San Diego, California. Jeff's here to explain more about what is Qigong, which is, I think, very little known about it here in the United States. More and more people are starting to practice it. You'll see that a little bit more is spoken about in the news. But I think that the general population doesn't really know that much about Qigong. And I think that it's important that we cover it. Now, Jeff, could you talk a little bit about Qi, what we work with as practitioners of Oriental medicine? Could you maybe start out with talking about what Qi is and how does it fit in? How does this fit into the practice of Qigong?
Sure. Yeah, well, Qi, many people refer to that as energy, but in some of the other terms that it's given in other languages that have Qi in Japanese, East India, they refer to it as prana. Different names for it. Qi, we like to define not only as energy, but energy containing vast information, actually unlimited information, that's guided by intelligence and is always in motion. So we refer to it as energy, information, intelligence, and motion. That's how we look at Qi. That's a simplistic way of looking at Qi. There's many different kinds of Qi, but that's a good basic way, foundation of Qi. Energy, information, intelligence, emotion. Qigong. Qigong is a new term. Ancient terms before communist revolution, going way, way back over the millennia, they called it Dao Yin, which means Tao is nature's way. It means leading and guiding the Qi, leading and guiding the energy, information, intelligence, and motion. And another term that the ancients used was Yang Shen, which means literally nourishing the forces of life, a beautiful expression. Many people that are not familiar with Qigong don't realize that Tai Chi Chuan, which is one of the most widely practiced exercise pretty much all over the world, is actually a form or a method of Qigong. So many people have at least seen Tai Chi either on TV or in the parks or outdoors or in martial arts schools, and that's Qigong. Qigong literally means cultivating one's Qi, energy, information, intelligence. It's an exercise method. Some people also refer to it, but we don't use this term, as Chinese yoga. It's very different than the yoga from India. Very different. This Qigong is very often in movements and emphasize the chi flowing through the organ meridians deep, deep, deep into the body, into different energy centers, 3 energy centers, 7 energy centers, 9 energy centers. Qigong, besides being for inner cultivation, we have moving Qigong, we have stationary Qigong, we have standing Qigong, we have seated Qigong, we even have Qigong that's performed laying down on a mat. Mm-hmm. Qigong may also involve meditation, moving meditation, yeah? And then we have another branch of Qigong that I mentioned a little while ago as the Qigong energy transmission healing methods, or Neigong Qi Liao. Currently in China, they refer to this as medical Qigong. And this is another form of Qigong. Actually, there's different, throughout history, there's different branches of the Qigong that have Buddhist-type Qigong, Taoist-type Qigong, Confucian-type Qigong, martial arts-type Qigong. All the martial arts have their own methods of Qigong. The martial arts considered the yang, the Qigong's considered the yin. And all the Chinese medicine, the life sciences, the healing arts, they're all based on this yin and yang polarity. We also have the medical Qigong, and nowadays there's new types of Qigong that are becoming available, and we just call it spontaneous Qigong. They really don't have much of a method or a technique. It's more of a spontaneous type of movement. So there's some of the different types of Qigong. What's one of the special things about Qigong is the Qigong, once one learns from a teacher, and we recommend to learn from teachers, not from books or from videos or online, because you can't ask questions, and it is important that one learn to practice the Qigong correctly, because it can have adverse effects if it's not done correctly. But the Qigong, one of the powerful benefits of Qigong is it helps to clear the consciousness, the mind, and the consciousness determines the physiology, and physiology follows the consciousness. So for general overall well-being and health and prevention of disease, Qigong over the centuries has become very famous and may be very, very helpful for many kinds of conditions, especially just to relax and unstress oneself from all the rigors of daily life. So Qigong is worth its weight in gold or beyond. There are many, many forms and styles of Qigong that can suit almost anyone, even if one is in a wheelchair or somewhat incapacitated. Yeah. So there's a little bit more about what qi is, what qigong is, and what it can be used for, and where it comes from.
I know that a lot of, you know, it's been very used a lot. They're increasing the use of it in like a lot of retirement homes. I've noticed lately they're offering it, and which is wonderful because it really helps with helping people not be so rigid and tight as they age, and by the cultivation of it, as well as it helps with balance. And could you talk a little bit about that, Jeff, as far as Qigong as we age, how it benefits us?
Yeah. In the practice of Qigong, there's we call the Qigong state. As one becomes more and more familiar with the practice and is able to do it more and more easily, and especially on a regular basis, if one doesn't practice on a regular basis, like anything else, of course, there's little, if any, benefit. But with the regular practice of Qigong, once, twice, or more times a day, for a few minutes at least each time, there's tremendous benefit to enliven the so-called Qigong state, which includes, but it's not limited to, the mind. Tremendous benefits to the mind, just to have some kind of exercise where the mind goes empty and thoughts from within the mind become quieter and quieter, which calms down the physiology. Then we have another part of the Qigong state that can greatly benefit the breathing and relax the breathing, enhance the breathing, and help to make the breathing deeper and slower. Everything besides depends on the mind and the breath. And as one relaxes the mind and the breathing, once again, the physiology has a better chance to rebalance and harmonize itself. Then there's part of the Qigong state that involves the vision. When one relaxes the vision and defocuses the vision, there are benefits to the eyes. There's the posture and alignment helps to stand up straight and improve the posture, take pressure off the internal organs, so on and so forth. Another aspect of the Qigong state is movement. Usually it's slow, soft, relaxed, continuous movement. So, believe it or not, these slow, soft, continuous movements, when they're performed for at least 12 minutes, we have an aerobic exercise. As aerobics is any continuous exercise that goes for at least 12 minutes or more. And then we have, of course, relaxation, one of the most important aspects of the Qigong state. When one relaxes, the stress goes down and the immune systems pick up, all the systems pick up, and it's just so wonderful for health. Many years ago, the World Health Organization, Hans Selye, they disclosed through their research over a long time that 80% of diseases are due to stress. So relaxation can greatly help with many, many disharmonies, imbalances, and oftentimes disease itself. Yeah, that's the Qigong state. As a teacher, besides being a doctor and practicing locally in San Diego, our association offers Qigong and classes for doctors in our profession, the Oriental medicine profession, for continuing education around the United States in big cities on both coasts. So we really promote that Qigong, being Chinese medicine in motion, is of great benefit not only to the patients, but also to the doctors who treat them, to keep them in good shape and good health so that they not be take on whatever these patients are giving off, whether it's common cold or more serious health concerns. Very important that all doctors in all the healing professions maintain good health. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Jeff, we've got to have a time here for a short break. This is Cheryl Hungsmeyer. I'm with Sticking to the Point on Voice America's Health and Wellness channel. And we've been talking about Qigong, the benefits of it, and what it is here. And we've got Jeff Nagel on the line, and we welcome questions. So when we get back from the break, please, if you have questions, it's Jeff has been explaining things very beautifully and well, and we welcome any kind of questions that you might have to explain it even better to the population. I think everybody has quite an interest in it, in Qigong and Chinese medicine. So let's have a short break and we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcast each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Why do people behave the way they do? The study of human behavior is one of the most interesting facets of life. Human behavior gets played out in a limitless number of ways. Now, there's a radio program that explains the why and the how of what we do. Human Behavior, What a Trip, is hosted by Dr. Jonathan Brower and will include interesting guests as well as call interaction from people like you. Let's have fun with this together. Listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Sticking to the Point, Natural Medicine Radio with Cheryl Hungsermeyer. Do you have a question for Cheryl or her guest today? Please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send us an email at CherylHRadioShow@acumedicine-health.com. Now, back to the program.
Well, welcome back, listeners. And I'm Cheryl Hungsermeyer with Sticking to the Point. My guest is Jeff Nagel, who's a practitioner of Chinese medicine and oriental medicine, however you want to say it, and he's got a practice in San Diego, California. Jeff's a long-time practitioner of Qigong, and we're having discussion on that today, the benefits and what it is and how it affects human beings and when do we use it and when do we practice it. And it's been a very good discussion here. I would like to ask, we were just before the break, we were talking about, Jeff was discussing how important it is for practitioners, doctors of all kinds, from allopathic medicine to people of all kinds of naturopaths, all kinds of doctors besides medical Chinese practitioners, how it makes a difference if you actually practice Qigong and how you are effective for your patients. Could you go a little bit more into discussing this, Jeff, about the whole how it affects us as well as practitioners?
Yes. Yeah, in Chinese medicine, there exists what's known as the qi field, the energy information intelligence. And this qi field, for most people, actually extends off the body, it's on the body, and goes into the body as well. The qi field is about a meter, extends about a meter off the body. Mm-hmm. When doctors are giving treatments to the patient in any kind, we're always within the patient's qi field. So this qi or energy can be and oftentimes is exchanged. And depending on what the patient's being treated for, especially if it's a contagious disease, the doctor can pick it up. sometimes we walk into a room, we don't know anybody there, a party or whatever, a gathering, and we feel totally, totally at ease, and we want to stay there. Other times we might walk into a room with people we don't know, and immediately we feel uncomfortable and we can't wait to get out. That may have something to do with the chi field. So in medicine, it's important that doctors, any kind of health practitioner, that they do on a regular basis something to relieve this tension that's built up from being around sick and diseased people. It's not healthy, and it can catch up with one after many, many, many years of exposure. Yeah. So we have Qigong practices to do that. And what my teacher, Cher K. Liu, has recommended over the years is in between seeing patients, from between one patient to the next, that you go ahead into a private room or a private space, or go outdoors if you can, take a few minutes for oneself and practice some type of cultivation method, whether it be Chinese or from elsewhere, it doesn't matter, but to unstress and relieve the tension and exposure to illness from one so that it doesn't accumulate. Because if it does accumulate, one needs to know how to shake it off and minimize it, or else the roles can reverse, and later on, and sometimes this happens, the doctors actually wind up becoming the patients. So it's an occupational hazard. In our particular style of Chinese medicine, from the naturalist school, the nature school, Taoist style, not to be confused with Taoism, which is an organized religion going back over 2,000 years ago, but the Taoist practice, as I mentioned in the beginning of the radio show, goes back at least 8,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, in our style, we practice what's called Qigong acupuncture, where the qi that we cultivate from the various practices and methods of the Qigong exercises can be transmitted or emitted into the acupuncture needle and just give a heightened or higher level or deeper level effect besides the practice of the acupuncture itself. And oftentimes we'll take the needle and not even insert it into the patient's body. We'll hold it a few inches off the body because, again, the chi field is at least a meter off any person's body. We'll hold it in the external chi field for half a minute. Then we'll take the needle and very lightly touch it to the body, not piercing the skin, not inserting it, for another 15 seconds or so, and then finally insert it into the body for whatever is appropriate, from 5 minutes to 30 minutes or longer. So we have this Qigong non-insertion method, which is very, very safe for infants, for children, for women who are pregnant, and also for those who, for whatever their reason, they don't want the acupuncture needle inserted into their body. And this also is a way of, during the treatment in our style, that the practitioner is also cultivating their own qi. It's not just about giving a treatment to the patient. It's also simultaneously cultivating one's own qi using special breathing methods, because everybody has to breathe right then and there during the treatment procedures that the doctors can do. Mm-hmm. So that's something else about how people in the healing arts and the medical professions, we can and sometimes do take on various diseases and conditions from the people that we treat. Yeah. So there it is.
Well, very good, Jeff. I want to stop here a little bit. I believe we've got a caller. Lynn from Maryland is on the phone. Why don't we go ahead and take your question or comment, Lynn, and go ahead.
Hello. I was listening to this talk about the Qigong, and it sounds foreign, for lack of a better word, it sounds foreign to someone who's growing up in the United States and basically experienced the system that we have here. But I guess it's like a language. It's foreign only to those who don't understand it or haven't learned about it. I think I've seen on television what might be an example of what you're talking about being practiced. I'm pretty sure it was in Japan at a workplace, and they were, the employees in the workplace were outside of the building. They were in a courtyard or lawn of some sort, and as a group, they were doing some kind of exercises, movements, slow, kind of graceful movements together. And it was said that this increased their productivity and it helped them focus on their work. Is that the kind of thing that happens in other parts of the world, and is that related to what you're talking about? So that's my question. I'll take it off the air. Over.
Yeah. Great. Thank
as
you.
I know it in Japan, most of the large corporations, if not all of them, give their patients time during the day, perhaps once or twice a day, a short period of time, to actually practice Qigong-like exercises, meditation, because the Japanese government, which uses socialized medicine, has found that lowers the incidence of disease and increases the performance of the workers substantially. So the government has this as sort of a regulation, I suppose, and businesses and corporations give their employees time during the day to practice these Qigong-type methods for the reasons I just mentioned. They are very smart.
Yeah. Very good. I want to ask you, is it a time when you shouldn't be doing Qigong? Is there a time, or is it always beneficial?
Great question.
Talk about that?
Yeah. A lot of people that my teacher has taught over the years, some of which are very, very long-time practitioners of martial arts, some of them very famous people, have come to study with our teacher, Sher Lu, who passed away the other year at all, approaching 95. And our teacher said to them, you know, if you practice a Qigong, you learn from a teacher, not from a book or a video, but many people don't know that the practice of Qigong, which is good for your health, can also cause problems. For example, some people like to practice Qigong in adverse weather conditions, such as when it's very hot in direct, very strong sunlight, or when it's quite cold outside or quite windy outside. These climactic energies can more easily enter the body because during Qigong, the body, the mind is very open, and it's much more easy to contract these climactic energies, and they can go into the body, and if they linger there, can cause other problems, even leading on into joint conditions, and if it's done over the years like that, even arthritis and bursitis. Some people, they will practice Qigong or other cultivation practices on cement. Cement is the perfect substance to block the feng shui of the earth, the earth's energy, which is partly magnetic in nature. And it's the best substance to block the feng shui energy. So you want to have access to that feng shui energy and not practice on cement on a regular basis. Also, cement being made of sand and water tends to hold in the cold, damp energy just underneath the cement, just like sand on a beach does. It could be very hot, so hot it burns your feet. But if you dig down a foot, it's cold and damp and moist. So it's recommended not to practice on cement because, once again, the whole body is open, more receptive. The meridians are open. The qi flows through the qigong practice, and one can literally draw up that cold, damp energy into their body through the bottom of their feet in the kidney one point, the first point on the kidney meridian and elsewhere on the foot, and then begin to circulate it through the Qigong exercises, and later on, possibly, wind up with something they didn't bargain for. And then the Qigong turns out to be not beneficial to health, but to actually be the opposite. So there's another counterindication. Then, if a person's practiced Qigong and they ask the teacher for reviews and corrections and they know that they're practicing correctly, but on a regular basis they start to feel nauseous, this is a very, very important thing, important sign to pay great attention to. If one starts to feel nauseous on a regular basis, then it is imperative that they go to their teacher, and even more so, go to the Western medicine and get a whatever kind of diagnosis, blood diagnosis, lab tests, whatever, to rule out the possibility of serious disease that's already begun in the body but has not been yet detected, because it could be a sign, it could be a symptom of a more serious disease if one is getting nauseous on a regular basis every time or most times when they practice Qigong. Yeah. So it's not a good idea to continue that practice if you're getting nauseous. Go to Western medicine and get a checkup. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is when you're practicing Qigong and you feel sick, then that
nauseous.
Idea that it could possibly mean that there's something wrong with you.
Yes, if one feels nauseous on a regular basis during the practice of Qigong, yes, it's possible. It doesn't mean, it's not 100% accurate, but it's imperative to go get the Western medicine checkup. Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, we just have a few more minutes. I want to just mention to people that we're going to, I want, Jeff, I have one more question for you, but I want to just say that stay tuned for next week's Sticking to the Point, because we're going to have Doug Dirth, who's a director and filmmaker who made the documentary 9,000 Needles, which received awards in a few international film festivals. And Dr. Atsuki Maeda will be on to talk about the follow-up of that movie, a documentary that Doug Dirth made, and how Atsuki Maeda is now teaching that protocol of stroke rehabilitation to doctoral students at Santa Monica's Emperor's College. That'll be a real interesting discussion next time, and it'll be interesting to follow up on that wonderful documentary. One thing I wanted to ask you, Jeff, is a little bit about the relationship with of Qigong with the I Ching, the Book of Personal Qi. Could you just say something brief about that?
Sure.
Relationship of Qigong.
Yes. 8,000 or so years ago, the eight trigrams were rediscovered. And then thousands of years later, it was written down in a book called the I Ching, mm-hmm. the Change Classic, or the Classic of Change. The I Ching is about yin and yang, and how yin and yang mix and combine and change, and is one of the foundations of the entire field of the Chinese medicine, yeah. Most of which now has been left out and forgotten. But the I Ching, also being about medicine, is a map, actually, a guide to cultivation of qi through the various qigong practices and meditation and martial arts such as Tai Chi Chuan, etc., etc. That's a Qigong. It's very, very profound, but it's very simple as well. It's based on zero and one, or solid and open lines. Red lines are solid or yang. The open lines are black. And this, again, shows the movements of qi through the 12 organ meridians, as is practiced in Chinese medicine to this very day. That's the I Ching. Within the I Ching is the possible, the potential, the keys that open all the locks to all the diseases, such as some of the ones that you just mentioned, stroke, cancer, blood pressure disorders, weight concerns, cardiovascular conditions, respiratory conditions, fertility, infertility, so many different health concerns. The code or the guide how to bring the body back into health and balance and harmony is believed to be within the symbols, the basic symbols of the Qigong. There's 8 trigrams, and when those trigrams are combined together, they become 64 hexagrams. Yeah. It's an art and science that was left to us by the ancients from long ago.
Wow. It's just absolutely amazing when you look into the history and how this all was developed. It was, I mean, what, you know, but you also have to think about it. You've got thousands of years of building and building and building on it, which, you know, also helps too. But it's just almost stunning to see the development of Chinese medicine and all that goes along with it in Qigong, and how we use acupuncture and how we use the herbal medicine. It's just amazing how we've been lucky to continue with this wonderful, wonderful medicine. We just have a couple of minutes left. And I was just wondering if I wanted to say that if people had any questions that they wanted to specifically ask Jeff Nagel, I want you to realize that you can get a hold of his. He's with the Golden Dragon Health Association. And if you're a practitioner of Chinese medicine, please, if you want to find out more information on classes and workshops that Jeff leads, he travels all around the United States and around the world and studies and also teaches. And so if you wanted to be involved with that, please contact Jeff. Jeff, what is the best way of people contacting you?
Through email. Email is the best.
All right. And what's your email that you would like them to email?
I spell it out. It's J-U-D-I-C-H-E. J-U-D-I-C-H-E 108 at sbcglobal.net. Again, that's J-U-D-I-C-H-E. CHE 108 at sbcglobal.net. That's Judici. That's Judy's name in Portuguese.
Okay.
The educational coordinator for our association.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for your talk today and touching on Qigong and what it's all about. It was a wonderful discussion. I thank you so much, and I hope the listeners got a lot from it. I certainly did, and I'm a practitioner of Chinese medicine. I practice Qigong. It's always beautiful to hear about this kind of work. Now, I would like to invite you once again to join us next week when Doug Durth and Atsuki Maeda will be discussing with us about the 9,000 Needle movie and follow-up. And I want to thank you so much for joining in with me, Cheryl Hongzemeyer, and sticking to the point in voiceamerica.com. I want in the health and wellness section. Thank you so much for joining us, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, Cheryl. Great. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening to the program today. Sticking to the Point, Natural Medicine Radio with host Cheryl Hongzemeyer can be heard every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.